Yes.
Okay. So, thank you everyone for having us today. I'm here. My name's Liz Sewell and I work at Rails to Trails Conservancy, and I'm here with my colleagues Ed Goodell, Mike Dannemiller, Sonia Sesna, and John Boyle. And we're here to talk about a regional trail connection between North Jersey, the DDRPC region, and South Jersey. You might recognize this map from the Greenways Guide that was just published by NJDOT. It was a collaboration between DOT and Together North Jersey. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But first, the agenda. So first I'm going to talk about the Circuit Trails Coalition, then I'll give a brief overview of regional trails in New Jersey, the potential for a North Jersey urban trail network, and the next steps for trails generally in New Jersey. We're all familiar with the regional benefits of trails, public health, environment, economic development. A quick number is the East Coast Greenway calculated that the segment of East Coast Greenway through the Delaware Valley will inject $3 billion through these benefits, and also $840 million annually in tourism benefits, and that's just the segment through the Delaware Valley region. So there's a lot to leverage with these trails. To build a team to most effectively take advantage of those benefits, the DDRPC, the Delaware Valley Regional Planning Commission, put together a team of people to work on this trail network. They put together a coalition, and the network consists of over 800 miles of planned trail that takes people from where they live to where they want to go. These are the logos of most of the people involved in our coalition. It's really the strongest part of the circuit trails because we work together to move all of them forward. There are design guidelines to being a part of the circuit trails network, so we're not talking about hiking trails or mountain biking trails. We're talking about typically ASHTO standards, so 10 to 12 foot paved where possible, trails that people can use for transportation as well as recreation. So in 2013, the DDRPC added the Circuit Trails Network to their long-range plan, Connections 2040. In order to guarantee that trail projects were moving forward, DDRPC has staff that sit on the steering committee of the circuit trails. And the steering committee meets once monthly to talk about progress and strategy for the trails. These staff from DDRPC ensure that the trails are moving forward and that they have grants and funding accessible when necessary. So for example, I work with Sean Legendre. He is the assistant manager of the regional trails program, and I met with him on Wednesday to talk about one particular trail that we're working on that is coming up. It needs design funding. Some segments of it need design funding, some segments of it need construction funding, and we worked together to figure out what funding pots to draw this money from. This slide just, it has the progress we've made on the circuit trails. Our very ambitious goal is to get to 800 miles of completed trails by 2040. And to reach that goal, we have to finish 500 miles by 2025. We're working very hard. We've completed over 330 miles, but that leaves quite a few miles in 5 years. So through our work with the entire coalition and the counties and other municipalities and other agencies in the DDRPC region, we've kind of gleaned policy recommendations. And the policy recommendations we have are for county level, MPO level, DOT, DEP, and even ourselves. And we compiled those goals in this document, 500 by 2025. And I have a link that I can send to anyone if you're interested and reviewing those closer. I don't really have time to go over them right now, but let me know after the presentation. One big win that we have, this is the Ben Franklin Bridge. It's similar to the George Washington Bridge. There is a walkway on it, but the walkway is accessible from Philadelphia, but wasn't accessible from Camden. So, well, it was kind of accessible from Camden. There was a steep series of stairs that you had to climb to get to the walkway. So it was difficult for cyclists, and it was not ADA accessible. And it was also lined by that with that pokey wire that they use for jails.
Barbed wire.
It wasn't inviting is what I'm saying. And this was a big win for us. It happened in June, and the DRPA actually installed a ramp to access the walkway from Camden. So it's really exciting, and it shows the power of our coalition. Okay, so next, stitching together North Jersey's Urban Trail Network. The acronym is NJUTN. We call it the Newton. That was not my decision. Mike Dannemiller shaking his head at me. But we can come up with a better one if you're interested. So first I wanted to celebrate what you have already done. There's already a great working group that's been formed around the Morris Canal and an alignment for that. I think most of it is off-road. Some of it is off-road. There's the September 11th National Memorial Trail. There's the East Coast Greenway. There's the East Coast Greenway through Jersey. And we kind of slapped all of these lines together on a map, on Google Maps, to see what it would look like so we could visualize what the network would look like as a whole in North Jersey. And this is it. It's messy, but it does the trick. It kind of shows all of the connections that are possible. There we go. So this slide, we were playing with what segment to attack first of the new North Jersey Urban Trail Network. And one of the ideas was to focus on the urban counties of Essex and Bergen and Hudson. But that's just one way to attack it. This is a map of those counties. And in the lower left corner, you can see a rendering of, this is by, I think, the Tenafly Rotary Club. That's of the Northern Valley Greenway, which is in Bergen County. There's a group around that already working pretty hard on completing it, and that's what it could look like when it's finished. So this is our vision. We'd love it if it was your vision too. There are things that you can do that if you like this idea to move these trails forward and this project forward. One of the things that we thought of during our brainstorm is you could, the Morris Canal Working Group could look at regional connections. So the branches of trail that would stem from the Morris Canal. You could consider adding the Newton to the long-range plan for the region, as DBRPC did, and you could consider working groups for other trails in the region. So that's all I have. That's my last slide. I don't know if I am out of time or if there's time for us to take any questions.
No, we can take questions if you like.
Great. Does anyone have any questions?
So the work you're doing is great. I'm wondering whether you've come across and come up with any solutions to the idea of sharing these right-of-ways. In the past, they were used for rail. There are some folks who would like to see rail come back. There are people who are looking at autonomous vehicles and saying the big obstacle is having a right-of-way where they don't have to share movement with person-driven vehicles. So have you come across any solutions to sharing the right-of-way with some of these other uses?
So I do have an answer to that, but first, Mike, Ed, John, do any of you want to answer that? Sharing the right-of-way? Okay. So at Rails to Trails Conservancy, I'm working on projects that run along active railroads. So in that case, we build the trail alongside the active railroad. There have been cases, only a couple cases, where a trail is built to preserve a rail corridor, because that's really what our mission at Rails to Trails is to preserve these corridors so they don't go back to the original owners. When train service is reactivated along these corridors, we remove the trail and put it then alongside the train. So there's really never been any conflict in that regard. Yes?
One of the issues that we have with one of our trail projects, I don't know if you've had these discussions with DEP or could help us lobby with them. In order for a trail to meet federal guidance, it has to be a 10-foot trail. But their exception is 6-foot wide. Otherwise, you jump into their stormwater rules, which is quite onerous, and you have to offset it. So you end up using pervious asphalt, which is expensive. It creates this huge hurdle. Is there any, been any discussion about lobbying DEP to have their rules change to specifically address trails projects? Because they're just treated as development projects.
Yes, I have not encountered this issue. John, did you have an answer? This microphone doesn't move.
I don't have an answer, but we have confronted that problem in Burlington County, where DEP, with their regulations, which are kind of onerous and not really productive for trail development, I think talking to Burlington County would be a great idea to see how they got on.
We tried a little bit of their approach and wasn't apples to apples.
Yeah, but I mean, there are cases where we have boardwalks over wetlands, and it's a two-pronged problem. It's a sort of an administrative problem at DEP, and I think they got to understand trail development a little better. But I also think it's working with them to come up with a solution. I think of Burlington County, that has been the case. They've been able to build 10, 12-foot trail multi-use paths with some boardwalks and things like that.
Anyone else?
If you share that link with us, we could put that out to the membership.
Absolutely. Thank you.
We have somebody else.
Is there a designated circuit in Philadelphia area that's promoted to the public?
Yes, there is. You can find it at thecircuittrails.org. And I actually have one map in my purse that I can give to you, so you can check it out. But that map that I showed earlier was the circuit trails. Okay. Thank you all for your time.
Thank you very much. Okay. Next, we're going to move on to the information items. Going to hear from Tara Shepherd for the TMA report.
Good morning, everyone. The TMAs are continuing to advance the Street Smart New Jersey campaigns. Easy Ride recently completed campaigns for Lyndon and Elizabeth. They are also going to be supporting the Lyndhurst Police Department in the spring with pedestrian safety education and work in the schools and for seniors. TransOptions TMA has campaigns planned for Morristown and Dover in late spring and this summer, and preliminary discussions are underway with Parsippany for a possible fall 2020 campaign there. Bill Hunterdon has a spring campaign planned in the town of Clinton, and also in preliminary discussions with Raritan Township for campaigns. Cross County Connection has been working with the Atlantic City Police Department to plan the next steps for the rollout of the campaign in June. They've also met with Pennsville Township and Salem County to begin planning a Street Smart campaign on Route 49, as well as meetings with the Cherry Hill Police to discuss a campaign there, and working in Camden with an Academy Charter School to conduct a campaign near that campus. In Mercer County, Greater Mercer TMA is wrapping up a final report on a Route 129 pedestrian safety audit that was conducted in Trenton and in support of a Street Smart campaign there. And they are looking at a March-April time frame for education and outreach and enforcement. In Somerset County, RideWise has spring campaigns planned in Peacock, Gladstone, and Somerville. And Hudson TMA has been working with the towns of West New York and Harrison, where Street Smart materials and signage has been put up, and comprehensive outreach and presentations are scheduled for the spring. There's been preliminary discussions in Union City about a Street Smart campaign there, as well as preliminary discussions with Jersey City to conduct campaigns in the Journal Square and Heights areas within the city. Quite busy with pedestrian safety and promoting the Street Smart New Jersey campaigns. TMAs are also actively working on the implementation efforts of the community coordinated human services transportation plans. TransOptions is continuing to work with Sussex County on a pilot project to fund supplemental existing human services transportation using the TNC model, and the hope is that that service will launch in the spring. Cross-County Connection is continuing to update the VIS tool for Go Further and providing training to organizations that will help out with additional beta testing. And the latest tool update was submitted to NJTPA on February 3rd. In Hunterdon County, we will be working with the County Human Services Department to update the CHSTP in the coming month. And emphasis will be on utilizing existing census data to identify concentrations of vulnerable populations by municipality, and then analyzing the existing services and ridership within those communities. We are also continuing to facilitate a LIFT initiative at Hunterdon Medical Center, and in particular, expansion of that service that is focusing on patients of the Wound Healing Center. And what we are looking for there is providing lift rides and eliminating the barrier of transportation to ongoing patient care and follow-up appointments, and we will be evaluating not only the provision of rides, but also the impact on health outcomes with that project. I mentioned at the last RTAC meeting that the commuter transit benefit was going to be coming up. Was signed into law last March and goes into effect officially on March 1st, 2020. All of the TMAs are conducting outreach to employers and commuters to ensure awareness of the new law, which requires employers of 20 or more employees to allow a pre-tax deduction of up to $265 per month for public transit fares, vehicle leasing costs, and qualified parking. We have a meeting scheduled next week with Jersey Transit to discuss the statewide awareness campaign and effort that will be underway to make sure that both employers and commuters are educated on that as well. And we have been in touch with the Department of Labor, which is the administering agency for that law, to get additional guidance for employers and commuters. The TMAs are being represented on the New Jersey Strategic Highway Traffic Safety Plan update. We are involved not only in participating on the steering committee and attending the statewide summits, but also being represented on a variety of the safety emphasis area teams. If you're not aware of this initiative, the statewide website for that is saferoadsforallnj.com, and all of the information is there. The TMAs are also responding to the Energy Master Plan and the latest legislation signed regarding the purchase of electric vehicles. And we have been meeting with DEP and discussed collaboration, and several of the TMAs also have information sessions planned with municipalities and the business community to help facilitate that effort. And that concludes my report. Thank you.
Any questions?
Yes, I have a question. What role does the TMA play in the road safety audits? Are you all coordinating with consultants, coordinating with the NJTPA? How does that work?
Each of the TMAs do it a little differently. Some of them are doing it as part of their NJTPA work program, and others might do it as part of the Safe Routes to School program. I would recommend that you reach out to your particular TMA and discuss that.
Thank you very much. Next, we're going to hear from Megan Macy, the Transit Friendly Planning, Land Use, and Development Survey.
Thank you. New Jersey Transit is very excited to announce that we're updating our Transit Friendly Land Use Planning Program. Some of you may remember the 1999 handbook known as the Pink Book. It discussed land use guidelines in relation to transit supportive development. We are in the process of assessing the program and updating the handbook to hopefully get it online on New Jersey Transit website and have it more interactive and easy to use from wherever you are. The reason why I'm here today is to plug a stakeholder survey. We are all planners and we all love to take surveys. And so I invite you to take a picture of the QR code. It's in the handouts for the RTAC members, and it's in the back with the agenda. It's an 8.5 by 11 version of this. You just put your phone over the QR code, and it's approximately a 10-minute survey. I know that can seem overwhelming at first, but you do it from the comfort of your desk at the meeting if things there are many options. But we're really looking for feedback on what you know about the program. It's okay if you don't know anything about the program, what you'd like to hear from New Jersey Transit in the work that we're doing for TOD, our outreach with communities. So it's really important to get your input, especially since we're all in the same field. Thank you.
Any questions?
Thank you, Megan. So we'll be circulating the survey over the next 2 months. We're going through presenting at all of the MPOs and other larger events just to get the word out. But we're hoping to close it out in the next 2 months.
Thank you. Next, we're going to hear from Liz DeRucci and Peter Bilton, the CMAQ solicitation for spring 2020.
Good morning, and I'm not Liz DeRucci.
That's not Liz DeRucci.
I'll bring some Letty Heil. I want to talk a little bit about a very exciting news. We're going to release a new solicitation for CMAQ. We haven't done this in a couple of years. And so we just... You know, we just want to let everyone know that it's upcoming, and we'll release a schedule probably because of the RTAC very soon, but it's coming up in the next couple of weeks. This year is a little bit different. Last time we had a combined solicitation, which became voluminous, and this, you know, because of the local mobility portion to this, and we've decided to separate them out. We're going to hold them concurrently, but this way it's easy to apply. We want to make sure everyone has you know, some really good ideas and doesn't get issues. So we'll issue two solicitations, one for the local mobility and one for the traditional CMAQ project funding. Again, for CMAQ, again, these are projects that are really to reduce congestion and reduce air pollution in the region. You have 2.5 and another pollutants. And a couple of weeks ago, we went around, we held these public sessions on trends and what we're seeing around the country of projects that are being authorized. So we decided, I took a national scan, and we had some great data, and looked at some of the trends in CMAQ, some of the projects that are really moving. And And so we went around and spoke to everyone a little bit about what we're seeing, a little bit about the programs to get everyone thinking ahead of time. So we issue, we have our solicitation. You have some great ideas, and you can submit those multiple ideas. So we just wanted to give everyone a little bit of a head start. And, you know, they were well attended. We really appreciate everyone showing up. And I'm going to turn it over to Peter to talk a little about local mobility and maybe answer a few questions. But expect a solicitation very soon.
Thanks, Rick. Good morning. So the other side of our regional CMAQ program is local mobility initiatives or transit shuttles. And as before, that can pay for operating funding for up to three to stretch it out to 5 years for a new transit shuttle or vehicle replacement for an existing shuttle. And we partner with New Jersey Transit to administer this. And so as Rick said, this will be run concurrently with the other types of congestion mitigation air quality projects that are eligible, but there'll be two separate applications. So if you want a shuttle, you come to me. If you want another type of CMAQ project, you'll be submitting that to us, and Liz Rucci will be the lead on that. Just a few notes that eligible entities are counties, and county transit operators, municipalities and transportation management associations. And then we do require that if a municipality or a transportation management association is applying, that they have the support of their county and have a letter from their county that shows support. So if you may be hearing from a TMA or a town that didn't apply for this. And there is a match required for the operation support of 25%. One example of a successful shuttle that started with operating funding from previous rounds that's running now is the Hackensack Transit Connector, and that links the rail stations in Hackensack, the bus station, the hospital, and the county administrative complex all together to help circulate people and commuters who are taking transit to get to jobs in Hackensack. So the schedule's being finalized right now, but we expect solicitation go out and the public information meeting to happen in the next several weeks. Probably in March, we'll be having the public information meeting. Are there any questions for myself or for Rick?
Yeah, how many thumbnails can each sub-region submit?
So there's no limitation, there's no limitation on the number of thumbnails, and thanks for reminding me. So the application process will be as in previous years, where it will be announced. Potential applicants will submit a two-page summary of what they're interested in doing. We will screen that to make sure it's eligible for the federal CMAQ money, and strong applications will be invited to apply with a full application for both of the two programs.
So you can submit as many as you would like to submit. What we do ask you to do is prioritize, because there's a limited amount of funding here, and we do like to make sure that it's a diverse program and reflects the entire NJTPA community. But submit as many as you like. We'll review them and again prioritize which ones you really feel you want to see advance the most.
And just to clarify, you mentioned the municipalities can submit on their own.
They can. We encourage them because, again, many of you know the authorization process, the federal authorization process is a bit difficult and onerous. So it may be too much to handle for municipalities. So we do encourage the municipalities to work with the counties that they are part of.
And the same goes for the transit shuttle projects as well. Municipalities may not have the capacity and knowledge to handle operating a new shuttle, but their county probably does. And so we're encouraging, I would be encouraging a town, a municipal applicant, to make sure they talk to their county and see if there are opportunities to work together. Several shuttles do run under a contract arrangement where the county provides the service for the municipal.
During the workshop, you had mentioned some tools for us to use as far as the air quality When do you expect to be able to release those so we can...
I can release the information available because FHWA has done a lot of work. I guess they're trying to standardize the emissions analysis. So over the years, they've added more and more tools based on project types. I can release that to RTAC if they feel the need to, the desire to go ahead and run the emissions analysis. Otherwise, you'll find out that we here at NJTBA will offer support. Some of it can be a little sophisticated. We have some other tools. If the project does not fit the emissions analysis, we have some other tools available. So myself and Bob Yoga will help some of the modeling for the emissions analysis here, if that's necessary. But I'll release the... they're spreadsheet-based tools, so they're not too difficult. Some of the other tools are difficult, but... Yeah, I mean, we can read a little assist, but we'll go over a lot during the public information session. But I'll send a link to you.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you very much. Next, we're going to hear from Eugene McGinnis for the kickoff of the Accessibility and Mobility Strategy Synthesis. Eugene, thank you.
Good morning. So January 31st, the NJTPA hosted the kickoff event for the CMP update, the Accessibility and Mobility Strategy Synthesis. And it's an 18-month study, and it's supported by consultants, ICF, AECOM, and Fitzgerald and Halliday Incorporated. This is going to include a performance-based assessment of accessibility, mobility, and congestion in the region. And hopefully one of the project products will be to generate a narrative on needs, strategies, and outcomes for the long-range transportation plan. Subregions, partner agencies, and other stakeholders participated, including members from this group, and we very much appreciate your participation to the discussion and all the multiple points of views that were expressed at the meeting. This meeting built off of the CMP workshop that we held in November, and subregions contributed local and regional needs, and so staff summarized that feedback at the kickoff meeting, and consultants provided a project overview, and they also facilitated group discussions based on brainstorming objectives for the future of the plan. So the next meeting is going to focus on goals, objectives, and performance measures, and that's slated for March. Everyone's free to participate. We'll be reaching out to RTAC to discuss the meeting, and we plan on keeping the entire RTAC engaged throughout the project. Thank you very much. Does anyone have any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we're here from Bob Diogo on the Travel Modeling NJTPA web series.
Hi, all.
Hi, Bob.
How you doing? All right. So, as you know, I'm the Travel Demand Modeler at NJTPA, as most of you know. The model we have right now, the North Jersey Regional Transportation Model, the Enhanced Model, was developed in 2008. It's... Really was a completely new model. It doesn't bear a lot of resemblance to the older the model it replaced. And what we're looking at now, it's 12 years, and it's running well. If you compare it to a car, it's still doing well. But we got to think about what's out there, what's new. Things have been changing over the years. It's what's called a four-step model. The newer models are activity-based, and the newer models have the ability to use some of the real-time data, and the newer models maybe employ land use better, or non-motorized trips better, or do figure out where people come and go, or to distribution a lot better. So what we're thinking about, okay, we need to think about whether we need a new car, new model, or just overhaul the old model, or do a little tinkering on the old model. That's kind of where we're at. So what this webinar series will do is, what I thought would be a good idea is let's hear from other MPOs. let's hear about them, get the models they've developed, and the new things they're looking at, and think about and see how what they've found out about their new models and creating them. What are the costs of it? What are the benefits of it? What new reporting are they getting from it? How has it improved their ability to do their jobs? So what I planned for is 4 webinars. March 11th, March 23rd, April 8th, and April 22nd. And each webinar will have 2 MPOs talking about their model. And it'll talk about things like, you know, the model structure, the data requirements, does it have any crazy data requirements, the cost of developing, the cost of maintaining it, what improvements they've seen, things like that. These webinars will require some development modeling experience, you know, knowledge. It's not going to be, this is a model. It, you know, it's not going to be modeling 101. But I will invite all of the, you know, people from the RTAC to attend. I would ask that people on the NJRT and the users group pay special attention to attending, or at least I'm going to record these webinars as well, or at least listen in, because the plan here is to, okay, let's listen to what these models are all about and what aspects of the models we might want to take in. And then after that, we will meet, we'll have a meeting of the NGRT and the users group and other people as well to discuss, okay, what do we want our new model to look like? Is it kind of the same as the old model? Do we need to buy a new model? New cost, so to speak. So those are the types of discussions I want after listening in to these webinars. So again, I just wanted to let you know that you will see an email from me in the new, not too distant future that talks about this webinar series, and that you're all invited to listen. And any questions?
I have a question. There could be discussion or talk about narrowing down the data. Maybe you can look at it at a county level, from a regional level or a local level. Because you make some of your recommendations, you make it from a regional level, but it has to be taken care of on a, you know, local and maybe a county level. Has there been talk on kind of getting data to make sense of how it affects a particular project or a particular county or municipality?
Okay, so what you're describing is very important part of this thing, right? Our model is a regional model. And by definition, a regional model has a broad outlook on things, right? But a lot of the questions we want to answer are localized, right? They're, you know, what's the problem with the intersection over here? Or we want to, the people flow across our, you know, areas, our cities to be better. That will be part of the discussion. Theoretically, you can build a new model to try to do very localized things better, but that would be expensive, and that would take a lot more data. And you know, if you're trying to make a regional model, a local model, for a 13-county region, you can see where that might be difficult. So a lot of the discussions we would have is whether we want our regional model to try to do all things, or is it better to have the regional model do what it's supposed to do well, and then make sure that we have other supplementary models that can do what you know, do some of the localized things. So it would be part of the discussion. I don't want to say that the regional model should do an intersection process, because there's questions as to whether you want that from a regional model.
At Ocean, we took advantage of the sub-regional study. We did exactly that. So there's opportunities here within TPA to get the funding to make those updates, and it's been a very useful tool for us. I think Monmouth did the same. There might be some other
Monmouth
counties.
Monmouth is the same. Yeah, you're talking about sub-regional Monmouth.
Yeah.
And that is a factor, by the way, just so you know that, you know, we have a lot of models. There's some models out there that are based on the current model. So if you buy a new car, so to speak, a new model, then all these other models will need to you know, revamp their model. So there are these other factors out there. Having said that, just so you know, any model that comes around, it takes a while. If we decided to do a completely new model, so to speak, it will take a while to develop. That's why I'm quoting this now. It takes years and years to develop a new model. We'll have this model for the next 5 years at least.
So, will it also, will you look at best practices with regard to incorporation of freight flows from the model?
Incorporating what?
Freight.
Freight will be, I provided the people that are presenting at the webinar certain things I want to hear about, and one of them is freight.
And what about, you mentioned data. It'd be interesting to hear how people are handling that. And, you know, are there any regional data collection programs that are particularly successful? And where are they getting the data from? Are they working with private sector to collect data? That kind of thing?
Yeah, that's one of my biggest concerns. A lot of data comes from the surveys, for example. I could go on and on about the good and bad of taking some of the information from the surveys. But some of the aspects that might improve, or I mentioned it briefly, real time. Some of these models are able to take in some data automatically that's already out there that might not require collection. And so there's a hope of hearing a little bit of that. Anything else? Thanks.
Thank you, Bob. Next, we're going to hear from Angela Young, the draft fiscal year 2021 UPWP update.
And good morning. Unfortunately, I am not Angel. She is out sick today. I am put on my own back, though, and so I'm looking for her with a presentation on the fiscal year 2021 UPWP, which we are presenting to the board as a meeting for adoption. As you recall, a draft copy of the fiscal year 21 UPWP was distributed in December for review and input. Comments to the draft were received from Federal Highway and JDOT, and representations for representatives of the board. A list of the comments we received, including our responses in addition to the December draft, will be distributed shortly after this meeting. Included in today's handout is an updated draft of the fiscal year 21 UPWP budget summary, a list of the proposed consultant members. There has been no change to the overall proposed budget. In general, the comments were supported and provided suggestions to further streamline the UPWP document, clearly define the task activities and deliverables to be completed within the program, and of particular interest, following areas were highlighted. Collaborative efforts of task activities, data development and regional resources, performance-based planning, air quality and conformity analysis, maintenance and development, modeling applications, GIS data, and planning tools, assisting NJDOT with the data collection of MIRA, the state's model inventory of roadway elements management system, including connected autonomous vehicles, completion of trail network, and Title VI compliance into the planning process, regional planning studies, capital programming, and local safety programs with the emphasis on locomotive initiatives, congestion mitigation, economic development, placemaking opportunities, resiliency, and state strategic highway safety plan. NJDOT also commended the subregions who will be conducting elective activities related to resiliency, trail networks and greenway initiatives, complete streets, electric vehicles, and safety. They also commended Fayette County for emphasizing interagency coordination with the ON3 redevelopment of the former Hoffman-LaRoche site at Nutley, as the department is not yet fully aware of the impacts of this development, and commend some for incorporating ITS improvements into the work program. An updated draft of the 21 UPWP will be posted to the NJPPA's website early this week. Revisions to the December draft include slightly modifying the budget revenue assumptions to correctly reflect the balance of PL funds available from prior work programs. Task 201, performance measures and data's contractual effort. The phase two of the Trans-Hudson bus survey, which has been moved to task 202, modeling and forecasting. A new subtask activity that was added to task 206, GIS data resources and planning tools to assist NJDOT with the data collection for MIRE.
A table has also been added to Appendix A of Chapter 1 with a list of the recommendations resulting from the 2018 federal certification review. In addition to indicating the recommendations, which recommendations have already been addressed or will be addressed in fiscal year 20, the table includes references to the UPWP task activities that will be addressing the remaining recommendations in fiscal year 21. Chapter 4, other regional transportation initiatives, have also been completed. The chapter describes transportation planning studies conducted by other agencies and provided for informational purposes only. Are there any questions? Again, I want to thank everybody. We did get a lot of input from both the federal partners and DOT, but also from the counties and the cities. So we appreciate your efforts and understanding of work programming and indicating to us where your priorities lie. We appreciate that.
Any questions?
Yes, just a few, I guess. So most of these questions, I guess, regard to moving forward, but I know we made some inquiries about potential work programs going into this year. One of the big ones, which kind of segues off of the presentation, beginning of the meeting, which is Morris Mountain Greenway. I know there's hasn't been a ton of movement as far as the working group. Mostly it's been on the county levels to move some of those projects. Has there been talk about the next steps in that in regards to tourism, whether it's interpretive elements for the locals to use, or even some of those connections to talk about some of the economic impacts of connecting up the trail system? You know, Rutgers did a study of economic impacts of non-motorized travel or tourism in New Jersey a few years back. I think the equivalent of having a Super Bowl something to that. So I definitely put a pin in that moving forward. I know it wasn't in this year. One of my specific questions, I guess that was more of a comment, sorry, questions for you, is as far as regional purchases, as far as data, is there a complication with the TPA making regional purchases of data, specifically economic development data, whether it's CoStar listings, whether it's some of the other employment data that our economic development directors currently do. I know there was talk of that in Together North Jersey. That's a value add buy, where it would take an economic kind of burden off of the county level, but also maybe interpreting that data in your enterprise system, to format something GIS, really gives you a stake in the economic development.
The first one, I'm going to defer to Jeff, if he doesn't mind, on the Morristown Greenway question.
Yeah, so, I mean, and I'll speak over to Ted, too. So we do, I know we did do the Morristown corridor study, and you saw that, and I think Elizabeth showed that. If that group were to meet, we would support that group, but in terms of actually bringing that work on, I don't know if there's support staff capacity for that right now. So I think, you know, we're willing to, you know, we're looking to help that group to sort of continue to need and to advance the work and the plan that was done. But I don't know if, you know, we have the capacity, staff resources, to take on another group and then stand up that group and manage and coordinate all its activities. Ted, do you want to?
No, I mean, that's pretty accurate. I mean, I think the Morris Canal Working Group most recently, we haven't been meeting as regularly, perhaps, after the conclusion of the corridor study. So we're looking at ways to sort of figure out what the next steps are. We're talking with other stakeholders on how to advance some ideas from the corridor study and take them forward. So, we expect to ramp that back up again. But as far as what the role will be is sort of the kind of an unsolved deal.
We welcome any discussion on that.
Okay. Welcome. Thank you.
And regarding your question regarding data and shared resources, that is something now, one of the reasons for reorganization of staff was development of information systems department, and that basically the primary thing there was taking more of an enterprise approach internally here, but it also is to also be expanded to sharing information with our partner agencies and making streamlining that process and where there's opportunities to procure for the greater good, we're going to take opportunities. As you know, sometimes those data acquisitions especially from private firms, are difficult to leverage to outside entities. But we have done that before. We created one example where we were able to take that data and massage it so that we could be shared with our regional partners.
Yeah, I think it'd be worthwhile to have those conversations sooner rather than later before the next work program comes up. Those regional buys can save us a fortune. Whether it's development, aerial data, I think it's something like $70,000 a pound to do that. I don't know what a region wide buy would be, but it might not have a big discount. So I don't, again, I don't know how that fits in, but it'd be a great, you know, coordination point, even just so we understand each other. You know.
So that is an ongoing process. We are looking at that this year. So, it'll develop over the year. Thank you. Any other questions?
Actually, I want to, while talking about Morrison Greenway, it's been brought to its attention in the past. Now that the Morrison Greenway study is concluded and it's going to be steps, that it might be timely to do something more with East Coast Greenway, which is supersubstantial, and at this point is still series on and off road. And it would, since those two counties here, that it would be a regional study. And might assist individual municipalities and counties that have the agreement working through it to get more strength and more support and funding to make the connections more seamless between ones that can be. So I don't know if it's been discussed anymore, but it would be. Maybe something to think about the next year when you're in tip.
Intrusive and disruptive. unfortunately, the mics and the ability to hear are making it a little difficult. But what I will say is, you know, obviously, if working on trails and working on greenways and looking at sort of alternative pathways and you know, alternatives to motorized vehicle roads, you know, that's obviously something that we're all interested in pursuing. And if there are organizations that support that, and that we can play a role in, you know, we'll certainly do that. And we can, even if there's not a specific project funded in the next DWP, we can use our time to start planning what we would do in the next cycle. So if this is an area of interest, this is very helpful because we can start, as you know, the planning process takes a long time, and so we can start having those ideas and those discussions now, so that when we're back here this time next year, we'll have some maybe specific projects that we can move forward with. But I think in the meantime, we, as Ted said and as Jeff said, you know, we can certainly participate in the ongoing institutional structures that are already existing without necessarily creating another one. And so, you know, we're happy to do that because it's an important part of our long-range plan.
Is this not alive?
I
you're not close. No, once you turn away, we can't hear you.
Oh. Yeah, it's very directional.
You have to sit closer.
Thank you.
So, thank you, Mary. Think we're good. Next, we're going to hear from Jeff Perlman, Together North Jersey update.
And good morning. And actually, just I'm going to one more talk about greenways and trails and so forth. Is that if there's a lot of interest, we're hearing there's a lot of interest, a lot of groups, need to coordinate and plan together is to, we can pull some of that into the teeth and get the North Jersey and the task forces and have some of those conversations there and sort of scope out a little more of the work that needs to get done, and whether that, some of that ends up in the next BPWP, that, you know, that might be a fruitful way to go here, considering that there's a lot of, we're hearing a lot of need and a lot of interest. So with that, I do want to talk about the North Jersey, and really the first announcement to make is the next forum will be held at the Blaustein School on Friday, March 20th. We're coming up on 5 years of the implementation phase of the Together North Jersey effort. And so, you know, we're still firming up speakers for the forum, but the idea is to sort of also get a take stock of where we are, what have we accomplished in the last 5 years, and really sort of maybe start to set the stage for the next five. So you should have received an email, at least save the date, and maybe even see the flyer associated with that. So we really do hope to see you at Rutgers Boston School on Friday, March 20th. Also, the forum, there will be the four task forces will convene as well, and you know, we'll be talking about that internally, about the agenda for those task forces. But again, the thought is really, again, thinking about what we as task forces can accomplish over the next year, and really one piece of that might be to look at really sort of a refresher, just looking almost like a re-examination report, you might say, if you're a municipal planner, for the Together North Jersey strategy. So keep that in your mind. It's going to be really exciting, task force meetings and for the next year. The task forces, though, are doing work along with and coordinating that work along with the Voorhees Transportation Center at Rutgers University. Two updates in that regard. There is Voorhees Transportation Center offers the task forces technical assistance. The members meet and decide what activities they'd like to advance. And so in this fiscal year, there were two task forces that have projects. One is the Brazilian Task Force. That's Peter Zambito and Jennifer Pugliano are liaisons to the task force. And they recently completed, along with Sustainability Toolkit, an online sustainability toolkit. That is, if you're doing a master plan update, your municipality or county, what are the kinds of strategies and things to think about as you're doing that update? It is an online tool, so it is live on the Together North Jersey website. We presented it at the New Jersey chapter of the American Planning Association conference a couple weeks ago. So we really encourage you to go visit that website. There's a ton of resources there for you to look at. The other task force, the competitive task force, it's Rick Cipolletti and Lois Goldman are the staff liaison for that task force. And the that task force has been looking at examining tourism, economic development, marketing practices in not just northern Jersey, but really a scan outside of the state. And is coming, they did some interviews with stakeholders, public sector and private sector, and I believe that the report of that and the findings from that that work will be put on the website and finalized in the next several weeks. The third piece of the Together North Jersey update is the local technical assistance that is also supported by the Voorhees Transportation Center. We had a solicitation in the summer, and we awarded, you may remember the last time I presented here, two projects, two municipalities were selected for technical assistance. The city of Hackensack in Bergen County is, they're interested in an art walk, placemaking type of project on Demarest Place, that's in downtown Hackensack, and work is beginning there, and there's been already some interviews and reviewing and looking and analyzing the prior interviews that the city conducted. The other is a wayfinding guide plan, I should say, for the borough of Valbrook in Somerset County. And work has also began there with a first stakeholder workshop, actually this Wednesday in the borough. So really sort of bringing people together, identifying key destinations, and beginning, and I think Miriam Salerno at Voorhees Transportation Center has partnered with the Mason Grove School of Arts and the students there to come up with some renderings and sketches for possible wayfinding, sort of themes. So that's going to be interesting. Both those projects will end June 30th. The last thing is in terms of our workshops. We've had a number of workshops over the years. We do have one workshop in the making, and that is on micromobility. We mentioned that last year at some point when Tom Schultz was here, but we're in the process of planning that workshop for the late spring, May, June timeframe. So planning work has begun on that. Any questions?
Has the keynote been confirmed?
No. Working on it. Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Next trainer from Ted Ritter, the Up Next update.
All right, thanks. What's up, everybody? Good morning. So I'll bring you back to life, I promise. So in the early 90s, this is the morning after the Oscars, right? So I'm allowed to do a movie reference to entertain myself, if nothing else. Anyway, in the early 90s, the Coen brothers did a movie, a bizarre movie called Barton Fink. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a movie you need, like, counseling right after you watch it, right? But in this movie, a 1940s Hollywood screenwriter is trying to come up with a new picture, and he can't get ideas. He's got, like, this writer's block, you know? And at his hotel, he meets this random guy. He's got all sorts of ideas, any one of which would be great material for a screenplay, right? But Barton Fink is oblivious to this. He's not making the connection. And as it goes on, this friend gets increasingly more unbalanced and impatient. Finally, he just goes ballistic and says, "You don't listen," right? And that's sort of the point, is that he could have written probably 10 movies in the first 15 minutes of the picture. Anyway, we in our public engagement efforts here don't want to be like Barton Fink at all, right? We have committed, in fact, in our public engagement plan to not only keeping up, but even advancing the good work we did for our current long-range plan, Plan 2045, right, in terms of public engagement, including a pilot Young Adults Advisory Group, and we call that Up Next North Jersey. And I'm happy to report this morning that committee is off to an extremely strong start. It's open to residents of the region between 18 and 30 years of age, and so far we have about two dozen, I guess, residents so far. And after we held our kickoff meetings last fall, we held two meetings, we held our first sub-region-based event at the Patterson Museum and at the Great Falls on a rainy Saturday last month, and it was great. Passaic County Freeholder John Bartlett was there to do a welcome. We did some general information about the NJTPA and some of our transportation planning efforts in the county. And then the group also heard about two NJTPA-funded studies there, the Main Avenue Local Concept Development Study, Passaic, and of course the Patterson North Transit Market Study. And then we asked the members of the group for some input on those two projects, which is pretty cool, right? But then we also listened to some general ideas from the group, not specific to Passaic County, about their transit use and technology and infrastructure improvements that they would like to see going forward. So we sort of think of this as great advance work for the outreach for our next long-range plan update. So future Up Next North Jersey events are already in the works. We're going to be at Second Life Bikes in Asbury Park next month, which should be pretty cool. And then early summer, we're looking at like a bike tour and some other sorts of related activities in Raritan Borough. That'll be early summer. So as subregions, if you're interested in getting young people involved in the outreach for any of your projects, either it's a sub-regional study or whatever it is, you know, let me know, because that's sort of what this is all about, right? At each location we meet, we want to have an opportunity to listen, right? We don't want to be like that Barton Fink guy, right? We want to listen. We don't want to lose the chance to get some insights and ideas from some really, really interesting and engaged and civic-minded young adults who really want to help us make it easier to get around in our region. So, and of course, it'll also help us make a cool video. I'm not promising Coen Brothers treatment on the video, but we'll do it up next video as well on this. So, look, more information. I talked it up. More information about Up Next North Jersey, of course, on our website, njtpa.org/upnext. So check it out and stay tuned for the video. Questions? Good.
Thank you, Deb.
Yep.
We have two written information items, annual ESRI training, Gabriel Fossil, and then also coordination on New Jersey Transit, Public Transit Agency Safety Plan, Keith Miller. So is there any questions on those? If not, we'll move on. If you reach out to either Gabrielle or Keith, I'm sure they're more than happy.
I have a question. I guess it's Gabrielle. Has NJTPA rolled out the GIS Pro for subregions or municipalities? And how's that training going
to
work?
She's getting a mic right now.
Hello? ArcGIS Pro?
Yes.
No, we have not rolled out the actual software for ArcGIS Pro, but the training that's coming up, it's been scheduled. Just got confirmation that it's going to start in June. It's a little late this year due to availability of the equipment and instructors, but a lot of that training is going to be dealing with ArcGIS Pro.
I guess because I'm asking, it's going to be training for ArcGIS Pro, but we don't have it. So how's that work out?
So the software is a little bit different about how you can get it, but I think that at this point, maybe we can talk offline because that deals with a lot of kind of technical work that we would have to deal with IT as well.
Okay.
But we can talk about that after.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Okay, review of standing committee action items. We're going to first hear from Jacob Rowinski.
Good morning, everyone. So, as you know, we developed the Freight Transit Development Program in order to advance regional and local freight initiatives that have been identified through planning studies that have been conducted by the NJTPA, our planning partners, or the subregions. I want to say about a little bit more than a year ago, we developed the project intake process for this program in coordination with you guys, with the RTAC. And that process was then approved by the FIC at the December 2018 meeting. So the last few months, we've actually implemented this process to identify the projects that will go into the next round of the Freight Transit Development Program, starting in fiscal year 2021. So very briefly, how did we implement this five-step process, which kind of became a project unto itself. We reviewed close to 30 different planning documents that have been completed over the last decade or so, and came up with a long list of more than 1,000 potential freight projects. In step two, we then took that long list and screened it out so that what was remaining were projects that required a concept development study and did not have another path towards implementation. And they talked about this previously with you guys and the other standing committees, that the whole idea behind this program was to develop a process for those projects that don't otherwise have a way to move forward to advance towards implementation. So that's why this final list of our, and we kind of cut it back to 37 potential candidate projects. And again, these are the ones that were deemed to require a concept development study, and we did not see another path towards implementation for those 37. We then applied the scoring criteria, and the scoring criteria that we applied was actually approved as part of the project intake process approval back in December of 2018. So we applied that scoring criteria to the 37 projects. And then in step four, we distributed the pre-scored list of 37 candidates to the subregions. And thank you to the subregions that provided input and feedback and made requests off of that list. And based on all of that, we, in step five, selected two projects to advance into the program starting in fiscal 2021. And those two projects are the, and these are kind of long names, but Yes, once we start working on them, we'll figure out a way to maybe make them a little bit clearer. So the first project is the Berkshire Valley Road Truck Circulation Project, and that one is in Roxbury in Morris County. And the second project is the Port Reading Secondary South Main Street Bridge, Great Crossing Elimination Project, and that one is in Bonneville, Somerset County. And pending board approval, I anticipate the work on these two will start early in fiscal 21. So with that, are there any questions?
Thank you, Jake. Looks like Dan is going to wrap us up on the last five items, so I'll let you have at it.
Yeah. The next five items have a lot of interrelationship. You can't have TIF modifications for very large projects unless you have a financial plan in place. So we'll start with the TIF changes first. The first action is for four minor amendments as requested by NJDOT. The first project is the Route 72 Manahawkin Bay Bridge Project, Contract 1A-1B, which is also referenced with the financial plan in Item 5. That project adds a little over $24 million based on updated cost estimates and utility relocations that were discovered during construction. The second project also has a financial plan referenced in Item 6. Is the Route 206 Doctor's Way to Valley Road project in Somerset County. Federal funds that are being added are above the threshold. That's why it's a minor amendment for the cost increase of about $16 million. Design is anticipated to be completed this spring, and the project is moving into the construction phase of work. The third project is a Route 171 Route 130 to Lincoln Avenue project in Middlesex County. This project has been fully funded and is underway with state funds. The federal funds were deleted to put on top of the other two projects which I just mentioned. And the last one is the Route 23 Route 80 project and the Route 46 interchange in Passaic and Essex County. The construction funding was delayed out of the TIF. The project really has only been delayed by a few weeks. It was elected to go into construction at the end of fiscal year 23. It's now moved into 2024. And those funds will be used to fund the Manahawkin and the Doctor's Way bridges. Does anyone have any question? And again, we looked at conformity. There were no conformity implications with these four projects.
Just for the Route 23 project, is there anything that the county can receive that or that I can communicate with the freeholders specifically in that 2024 time frame? Of course, once you get to unconstrained, there's a big window. Something that comes from the DOT project manager that says that this is locked in for 2024, it's just going to fall outside.
That's it.
Because it's vague. When these documents are vague, they kind of have to be. We sort of just deal with 2023 and then everything else. So just something we can communicate. We've had projects slip in the past. 1 year, the next year it slipped, next year it slips. That's how the other Route 46 project
happened. Well, we have DOT sitting here, Jim.
Sure. We talked with the project managers each month. And as Ann said, this is the best schedule we have right now. So you talk to them, they're going to say this is the schedule. They'll tell you, like Ann said, it's at the end of 23, but it's really looks like it's moving into 2024.
Right. That's fine. So, there's just nothing that explanation works. There's just nothing in the document that I can send and share with them that really says that. It just says it's kicked into the stream.
Well, for the board meeting, for the PPC, we'll resubmit this document where it says that the project, instead of saying shifted out of the 4 years, it will say that the project has moved from fiscal year 2023 to fiscal year 24.
And I can send this along to them, too.
You can send, yes.
Well. So that'll help. That's why I'm here, to get more information.
All right.
I didn't quite catch the Middlesex County project that you mentioned, and it's not listed on the agenda, so could you repeat that?
It's a Route 171, Route 130 to Lincoln Avenue project. The project's fully funded. So they're taking off about $3 million in fiscal year 2021 that was formally funded with federal money.
Question. Okay, question gets regarding the financial plan. What does that entail?
I'll get into it for item three. It said three financial plans on the agenda.
Okay.
The next one is an action also on the Route 206 project. This is the Valley Road to Brown Avenue project in Somerset County. The project is moving along. They completed a new 4F document in fiscal year 2029. Design is anticipated in April 2022. And so there's additional funds must be added to the project to move it along with the design phase and for the later phases. And the project is funded, there's enough funding available in the fiscal constraint bank from DOT. Any questions? Then we get to financial plans. Projects that are federally funded with between $100 million to $500 million worth of federal funds require a financial plan. I've been in front of you for years on these three that have been here. There's a Route 3 and 46, the Route 72, and the Route 206 project. And the first time they came to the board, let's start with the 3 and the 46. I came to the board in 2014 with this project. And every year we come back, it's sort of a report card. How's the project doing? How's the project progressing? And is there enough funding for the project? That's why you see some modifications and amendments in front of you now. Again, there were cost increases on the 206 and on the 3 and 46, most of them having to do with utility relocation. The Route 3 and 46 expended 37% of their budget. It's moving along. It's now about $309 million project. The differences right now is that there were construction change orders on the contract A, and they need full bridge replacement on the Route 46 bridge over the Lower Notch Road bridge. Any questions on that one? On the Route 72 Manahawkin Bay bridges, over 75% of the funding has already been expended on the project, though there was a total cost increase of about $21 million to $340 million. Again, it's utility relocation and updated cost estimates as they're moving through the construction phase on this particular project. Any questions? And the last one is the Route 206 projects in Somerset County. That has about 70% expended funds. The design should be complete for the bypass project in the spring. The Valley Road should have their design completed in April 2022. You've seen the modifications that result as a result because of the updated cost estimates as these projects are moving through design and into the completion. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we're going to hear from Beth Johnson for an update on the PEDC action item.
I think I covered it. So we're good, right? Unless there's any further questions, as you
have. Any questions? Okay.
Thank you.
We have a upcoming RTAC teleconference for March 16th, 2020. If any members have any ideas, questions, or whatever they want to bring up, please reach out to us here, and we'd be glad to put that on the agenda there. Is there any other items?
Yes. This is specifically for NORC. Currently, we have some outstanding projects in their earmarks. And I'm just trying to get clarity on how these earmarks move and the roles and responsibility of each agency. I sent an email out to DOT, local aid, and statewide planning, trying to gain some clarity. Just being a former employee of DOT, I have experience, I guess, dealing with earmarks from the state level and how you deal with municipalities, specifically Route 440 in Jersey City. And I put a memo to file for that, just noting the problems that I've had on the state level. But now I'm trying to gain clarity of how we move these projects and the roles and responsibilities of those projects. I know Solomon was working with us proactively, but he's no longer with NJTP anymore. I guess he's moved on. So we're just trying to get some clarity on how do we move these projects and so we could actually spend this money and get the projects going. We can make that solve this right now, but I just wanted to put it on
the table. Okay, we'll just put it out there, and then
maybe by the next meeting we can have some discussions.
We can absolutely reach out to you and walk you through the status of the various projects and what the next steps.
Sure.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, our next meeting is scheduled for April 13th, 2020. If there's nothing else, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Have a good weekend. Have a good
weekend.
I'm off tomorrow. That's why I said
that's what. That's one of the average.
I just preempted you right at the end there. I was like, let's get going here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I got the
meeting is
adjourned. That's right.
I got the command that
I think that's what happened.
Yeah,
but you're in my list, but I'll double check to make sure.
Okay, thank you. So,
That's the average. That's the average.
All right. Until next month.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.